Motorsports announces they want to go racing in this year's Daytona 500. NASCAR to launch its own TV channel, and there is an abundance of open teams scheduled to try to make the 500. Those are our top stories here on this edition of Fast Talk.
It's Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network, presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Sunoco. Whether you're headed to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco Ultratech. Now here's your host for Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Got a very fun-filled show coming up for you today. A ton of off-season news continues to be generated as we hurtle toward the 2025 NASCAR Cup Series season. Hi, I'm Doug Rice, joined in studio by Alexis Erickson. In Texas, we've got Brad Gilley, and we'll be chatting today from the Sports Business Journal with Adam Stern. Adam, first off, thanks so much for taking some time to be with us. I know I feel like you're probably unusually busy in the non-racing season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the off-season is the on-season for us, especially once you get to January. As you guys know, it's such a long season. So once you get to kind of November, December, some folks like to go off to their exotic vacations and things like that. But once you get to January, you really get into high gear very, very quickly. And so the announcements come thick and fast. And we've seen that this year, sure enough.
You know, Adam, I'm always curious because it seems like you get the scoop a lot of times before we see the announcement come out via email or social media. How have you been able to build your relationships with these teams and these partners and industry insiders for them to trust you to be the first person to announce, you know, their major news?
Yeah, you know, I've been lucky enough to cover this sport now for 10 years. So I'm heading into my 11th year covering the sport, and it's through a lot of just kind of old fashioned hard work, you know, going and meeting with folks, going to lunches, going to races, going up on that stack of tires and having a conversation with people, meeting them for the first time, and then keeping in touch with them for years. And so there's so much going on in this sport. You know, people like to talk. We know there's a huge rumor mill in motorsports and NASCAR, you know, things like silly season. And then, of course, as you said, there's the kind of the official announcements as well with things like sponsorships, paint schemes. And so, you know, just through time covering the business side of the sport, have been able to meet a lot of people and lucky enough to work with a lot of them on a lot of different things. So, yeah, sometimes it's kind of official and on the record. Other times it's kind of on background and talking to people about what they're hearing. And so, you know, we saw some interesting examples just this week, for example, like with Junior Motorsports. They put out their media alert the day before they announced that they're going to be entering the Cup Series for the first time in the Daytona 500. And, you know, some people at that point were able to kind of point to the direction of, oh, it looks like they're entering the Daytona 500. So word travels usually pretty quickly in this sport. And there's so much going on. So it's fun to cover.
Well, to echo what Alexis said, as I've told you before, there are two people that I actually get notifications for when they tweet, and that's you and my better half. So it is awesome, whatever you put out. Well, let's start with Junior Motorsports, one of many, many entries in this year's Daytona 500. Traveler Whiskey, Justin Allgaier, Xfinity champion, is going to be behind the wheel. I think this begs the second question. Now we know when is Junior Motorsports going to enter a Cup Series race? Now, the next question is, when are they going to do this on a weekly basis?
Yeah, well, great question, Brad. And that's kind of what we've all been asking in recent years. And that's what's fascinating about this is sort of the culmination, at least at first, of a lot of efforts by Junior Motorsports. Of course, this is a team that's been in business since the early 2000s, and they've talked for years about whether they're ever going to do Cup. And, you know, Dale Jr. has hesitated quite a bit. They've looked at buying charters since the system was enacted in 2016, and they never quite pulled the trigger. And at every step of the way, they were a little bit doubtful of whether they really wanted to take that step. And then the charters kept increasing in value, and then they became even more skeptical about, okay, now if we didn't buy it back in 2017 for $3 million, do we really want to spend $30 million on it now, for example? So they've kind of been going back and forth for years. And this is a really big step to kind of do that first race. Now they're doing it as an open team in the 500. They haven't bought a charter. And hearing what they said yesterday, they're not committed yet to saying they're going to do it full time. In their press conference yesterday with Chris Stapleton, the country music singer, they were saying this could be a one and done deal. They also didn't rule out the possibility that they could maybe do more in the future. And the fact that NASCAR has open positions and they're continuing that into this new cycle of their next charter system, they didn't completely close it off and just say only charter teams can run, will give Junior Motorsports the ability to keep doing this as they want to keep experimenting. But it'll be interesting to see if they ever get a deal that they feel is good enough. You know, these charters, again, they're a lot more expensive than they used to be. And yet at the same time, some people feel like they're undervalued, and maybe 5-10 years from now, they're going to cost even more. So will Dale Jr. and his sister, Kelly Earnhardt Miller, ever pull that trigger and feel like they have the best deal to kind of go full-time racing? They say they haven't made that decision yet.
Adam, I'm intrigued of the business behind the business. I know we talked a lot about how many diecast and how much merch they sold when he went late model racing in South Carolina a few weeks ago. And that was a late model car designed to look like his number 8. I cannot imagine the merchandising clout that this announcement is going to have.
Yeah, it really is just amazing. I mean, I think even when you look at NASCAR's top merchandise sales, we're still waiting for the 2024 figures. Those should be coming in any day now. But I know last year when we looked at the 2023 figures, Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Dale Earnhardt Sr. were still amongst NASCAR's, you know, top 20 sellers of merchandise. I believe even in the top 15. So they just continue to just be huge superstars, the Earnhardt family. And we saw it yesterday. We saw with this announcement that they are that there's so much fan interest that remains around this team. You know, obviously there's a huge interest in NASCAR as a sport overall, but it seems like some people kind of come out of the woodwork, come from the cobwebs. When they make an announcement, people who have maybe lapsed from watching NASCAR in recent years, and they're coming back in because Earnhardt's involved. So, yes, we know that they sold, I believe, well over $1 million worth of merchandise just from that deal with Budweiser, as you mentioned, with the late model deal. And now it'll be really interesting to see what they do with this Buffalo Trace whiskey brand with Chris Stapleton. But we know they've already started selling merchandise around it. I believe diecast and shirts and whatnot, they put that on sale recently when this got announced. So it should be a huge smash, but it'll be really interesting to see how they judge the success of this. Dale Earnhardt Jr. says he just wants the Stapleton folks and the whiskey brand to be happy basically with this experience. But you know, obviously once you get down to Daytona, they're going to want to do well on the track as well. So yeah, it's a huge thing for NASCAR as well. To get Junior Motorsports into Cup Series for the first time is a big deal for NASCAR.
Absolutely a big deal. You know, this time of year, a lot of the announcements that we hear are feel-good announcements because they're getting ready for the year, you know, and all the things that are going to transpire. But sometimes announcements aren't that great. And I think about one last year that was the shutting down of Race Hub on Fox. Unfortunately, we lost representation of NASCAR on a daily basis on television. But recently, there was an announcement made that we might get some of that back with NASCAR launching their own channel on Tubi. Can you give us a little bit more information about that deal that was just done?
Yeah, you bring up a great point overall, just because this is a new year for NASCAR's new media rights partners. You know, they're going from 2 domestic media rights partners to now having 5. And it's going to be interesting to see how the old incumbent partners treat things differently and how the new partners help add to the mix. So we know, for example, to your point, Fox has unfortunately ended Race Hub, and they're marketing the sport a little bit differently this year. They're now working with IndyCar, and they're also marketing IndyCar quite heavily. And then at the same time, we also have Amazon, newly into the sport for the first time ever, one of the richest companies in the world, now marketing this sport, pushing it during their prime, you know, Thursday night NFL games, things like that. There's also rumblings that they could be putting NASCAR on, you know, packages that they're going to be sending out all over the world and on their trucks that are, you know, all over the U.S. So it'd be really interesting to see this year how the media rights deals play out. And one thing that NASCAR announced recently is that they're going to have a free ad-supported television channel for the first time on Tubi, which is owned by Fox. And Tubi is one of those free streaming platforms. So it's not like Netflix where you have to pay for it. It's not like YouTube TV where you have to pay for it. It's free. And so it's extremely popular. Tubi says they have 97 million registered users. And now NASCAR is going to have a 24/7 channel launched on there starting in late January. So this is going to have, you know, classic races. It's going to have re-airs of races in 2025. They won't air live, but they'll show them, you know, days or weeks later. It'll have original content from NASCAR studios. So this is a way to get NASCAR fans who are hardcore even more engaged, and also to maybe come across people who are just casual NASCAR fans or even non-fans who might have Tubi and will come across this channel.
Adam, we want to keep you for another break here, so we're going to take a break here. By the way, this new NASCAR channel will air documentaries, classic races, They're even going to put up the Hall of Fame ceremony, which I think for a lot of folks, that's going to be a nice offering. We'll continue with our discussion with Adam Stern from the Sports Business Journal right after this.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. That's 800-393-5045.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network. I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Denny Hamlin slides up. He gets into the fence a little bit off of turn three. We will see if he is able to sustain that.
So suddenly things change dramatically. The two youngsters for JGR, now the veterans that are occupying the top two spots in turn three.
Hamlin out front for the 11th time today.
Denny Hamlin gives up the lead. Side by side going into one. Truex down low, Hamlin up high.
Three wide in front of him. On the bottom is Chastain. Up top is Austin Dillon with Gilliland in the middle.
It's Bristol, baby.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. Brad Gilley along with Alexis Erickson and Doug Rice. We are joined by Adam Stern from the Sports Business Journal. And Adam, we alluded to this earlier when we talked about Junior Motorsports entry into the Daytona 500. But this year for the Great American Race, the duels on Thursday night, February 13th, are about to be a whole lot more exciting. Potentially upwards of nine open teams vying for just the four available spots. What does that say about the health of the sport right now and about the action that we might see for those duels?
Yeah, it's a great sign. You know, the more teams that are interested in this sport, the better. And obviously for the duels, when you only have one or two teams that are really competing for that last slot or even less, it's just not as exciting. So to have this many teams that are going to be competing is going to create natural drama. And some of the entries are, of course, really interesting. We've already talked about Junior Motorsports, but that's going to be a huge story. I mean, we should still talk about Justin Allgaier. He just won the Xfinity Series Championship last year. This is Junior Motorsports' first ever Cup Series race. That's huge drama in and of itself. Of course, we're going to have Helio Castroneves, who's part of it as well with Trackhouse. Now, there's a very interesting situation going on there where he's essentially going to be guaranteed either way via NASCAR's new rules. So we could get into the debate about that, about, I guess, whether maybe that takes some of the drama out of it. But regardless, there's still so many entries. So yeah, I mean, it's just a great sign. It's shaping up like this could be the most since 2015 in terms of open entries. And, you know, with NASCAR having a next-gen car that they introduced 3 years ago, this will be the fourth season. You know, we haven't seen this much interest. There's been many races where you only have 39 entries, sometimes even only 38. And we're lucky to usually get to 40, that full field. So that's been a concern. There's been a concern amongst the fan base and even the industry at times about, hey, is this new car too expensive? Is there something about this new car where, you know, some of the classic teams that used to try and enter the race don't want to do it? So from that regard, it's a great sign.
Adam, do you think this is because there are more of these cars available to now? 3 years ago, there was a shortage. People were scrambling for parts. And now all of a sudden, we've had a little bit of time for these teams to build a backlog. Is that part of this reasoning?
Yeah, I think that's part of it for sure. We know that when the car first debuted, that there was kind of a supply chain issue going on around the world, and that had trickled down to NASCAR. So in that first season with the next-gen car in 2022, they were having trouble getting parts. And so obviously, if the main teams were having trouble getting parts, we know that teams that don't run full-time were going to have trouble getting parts, or that the full-time teams were going to have trouble adding on an additional car. So it seems like that's been fixed. That's certainly part of it. But I think you also have to just give credit to NASCAR as a sport. You know, when you have teams that want to be a part of it in some shape or form, look at Junior Motorsports. They feel the pressure to be part of the Cup Series. They feel like, hey, there might be an opportunity we're missing out on here with this sport going in the right direction at its premier level. And so I think you have to give credit to NASCAR sport overall. We talked about the new media rights deals this year, the new charter agreements, some of the freshness, the schedule changes NASCAR's made in recent years. We haven't talked about that yet, but that's added a lot of freshness to the sport as well. So I think you got to give some credit to just the overall momentum of the sport. But certainly I think the fact that we're now in the fourth season of the next gen and things have kind of figured themselves out with the supply chain issues, that's probably helped a bit as well.
You know, Adam, I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of forecasting here because you just spoke about a lot of the big deals that NASCAR has put together and negotiated over the last 3 to 5 years. What do you think is the next big deal that they're working on?
Well, of course, the biggest deal that they could ever work on would be if they sold a stake of the company, you know, to someone like a TKO, which is associated with Endeavor, like one of those big Hollywood agencies. That would be one of the biggest things they could ever work on. But one thing I would point to is last year when NASCAR did a bit of a reorganization, Steve Phelps, the president of NASCAR, said in his memo that he's going to be focused on the global expansion of NASCAR. As a result, Steve O'Donnell, the COO of NASCAR, is a little bit more running the day-to-day now. And we're still trying to figure out exactly what Steve Phelps meant by that. But we know they're very interested in global expansion, as he said. And one thing that's going to mean is schedule changes. So we know, for example, this year they're going to Mexico, but they're looking at doing, you know, they could change their street race location next year. They're talking to San Diego. So this could be the last year in Chicago. They're looking at changing their championship race and doing a rotation starting in 2026, possibly. So they're working on big things with their schedule, but that's just also, some of that stuff is domestic. They're also working on big stuff from a foreign perspective. You know, could they start they had these developmental series to a degree in Canada, Mexico, Brazil. Could they start one in Asia or the Middle East? They already have some in South America, but they could do more. So I think NASCAR is really trying to just become a bigger global behemoth, and they're trying to shore up their position vis-a-vis Liberty Media, which now not only owns Formula One, but also is trying to buy MotoGP. So I think NASCAR is really trying to shore up their position as one of the global leaders in auto racing. And that can take on a lot of different forms. It's going to be the schedule, but it's going to be the overall brand. And there's going to be, it's going to be a very interesting year to keep an eye on what NASCAR is working on.
Yeah, it is going to be an interesting year. I want to key in on something that you mentioned, and that's moving the championship race. You know, one thing I've always enjoyed in other sports, whether it's a college football championship to a Super Bowl, I mean, it's always in a different market and planned to be in a different market. You cover other sports and entertainment from UFC to wrestling and so on. They have big events that go into markets. What does it mean when you say, we're taking this championship event to this city? And what I'm asking about this, Adam, is how a market, how a city ends up taking ownership of that event and promotion of that event ahead of time.
Well, one thing we're seeing with some properties like UFC and WWE is that they're very focused on getting site fees to go to locations. For example, Salt Lake City. So they're going to Salt Lake City a good bit, and Salt Lake City is paying them money to bring them there. So we know that's something that NASCAR could be interested in, is they believe that their property is so valuable that cities should be bidding to want to bring the NASCAR championship there. So it'll be interesting to see if they ever open any sort of bidding process to try and, you know, see who might be interested in bringing them there. But we know, for example, Phoenix has done a really good job of promoting the championship race. That's one of the reasons NASCAR has had trouble moving it away, is that Phoenix has done a good job. It promotes it throughout the city. When you arrive at the airport, you see marketing materials for it. When you go by a major mall in the Phoenix area, it has a huge plastered banner that's like 30 feet tall outside of it. So things like that, that just, and they've of course been selling it out. I mean, ticket sales are huge. So I think the Phoenix market has been pretty good in terms of delivering on what it can do off the track. The issue has been the racing hasn't been as good as people are hoping for on the track. And of course, even if it was good on the track, sometimes there's just a benefit in changing things up. We know the Super Bowl changes its location every year. They go back to places they like eventually, but they change it up every year. So I think NASCAR is giving it a hard look at that. And of course, you know, the championship race is in November. So theoretically, it will have to be in a warm location. But when you go back to this championship race weekend last year, a good bit of America was pretty warm that weekend. So they might have some options. They said if they do it, they want to look at more than just Phoenix and Miami. So they're definitely keeping an eye on several different possibilities. We haven't necessarily learned what they are yet, but they've said that they're looking at several different options for this.
Adam, we still want to pick your brain about a couple of other topics, lawsuits and OEMs and a few other things that we haven't divulged yet. Can we keep you for one more segment, please?
Absolutely.
Adam Stern with Sports Business Journal right here on Fast Talk.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Headed to Las Vegas Motor Speedway in March to enjoy great NASCAR racing? Then make your reservations now to stay at the South Point Hotel and Casino. The South Point has great race weekend ticket and room packages. Plus, they have a great variety of dining experiences and a world-class spa. Stay where the racers stay. The South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Visit southpointcasino.com and book your springtime getaway today.
I'm Eric Almirola, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, this is Carson Osvar, and you're listening to Country Radio Hall of Famers Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country Classic.
It's Kathy and Tim McGraw.
I can see you getting more into the technical. I can see you producing.
It's a fun thing to learn. I enjoy doing it. When I get the opportunities to do it, I try to learn as much as I can.
Hey, it's Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country Classic.
Racing Country Classics.
Each year, vehicle trespasser and pedestrian accidents along railroads change the course of innocent lives, from train operators and passengers to families and first responders. Interacting safely with tracks and trains is the goal. It's important to be alert when approaching crossings. Never drive or walk around lowered gates. Do not walk on or beside the tracks. Trespassing is dangerous and illegal. Don't risk your life. Keep clear and stay safe. For more information, visit metrolinktrains.com/stay safe.
Thanks a bunch for being with us. It's Fast Talk. I'm Doug Rice, Alexis Erickson in studio, Brad Gilley, and our guest today is Adam Stern from Sports Business Journal. We've been picking Adam's brain for the last 20 minutes on the show. We will continue to do so. Adam, one of the favorite topics, it seems like, among fans is, will there be a new manufacturer coming into the sport anytime soon? We're at three right now, and we've been there for quite some time, or as NASCAR likes to refer to them as OEMs. What are you hearing? Give us some scoop. Is there going to be one? And if so, who might it be?
Yeah, they're working hard at it. So what's fascinating is NASCAR Holdings, of course, owns IMSA. And IMSA has 20, basically, I believe it's 19 is the official number, different OEMs in that series. They have 19. And NASCAR, the biggest racing series in America, only has three. And then their little brother, little sister has 19. So what's fascinating about that is NASCAR gets, because they own IMSA, they get to talk to all those OEMs as well through that. So they're in constant dialogue with every manufacturer you can imagine about trying to get them into NASCAR. And we've spoken with IMSA president John Doonan, and he says that is something that they actively work on, even at IMSA, because they're owned by NASCAR. Talking to these manufacturers about, hey, do you want to give a look at going into NASCAR? Of course, NASCAR is a much bigger commitment. It's a much bigger situation in a lot of different ways, much bigger investment. So it's not quite as simple at times as going into IMSA. But yes, NASCAR is actively working on it. We know that they've been working hard on Honda. Now, what's interesting with Honda is Honda's also been deciding about whether they're going to stay in IndyCar or not. They said that publicly, actually, last year. It was a very big deal. It shook IndyCar to its core because they said they were considering leaving IndyCar. At the same time, we're hearing they're considering coming to NASCAR. NASCAR's been working on that for years. We don't quite know yet how that's going to work out. We also don't know if it's either or. Could they possibly stay in IndyCar and still come to NASCAR? Or are they only going to come to NASCAR if they leave IndyCar? Still trying to figure that out. But we know that this is something that they're actively working on very hard. I interviewed Steve O'Donnell not too long ago, and he was talking about how with their current OEMs, Ford, Chevrolet, and Toyota, that's something that they work on with the three OEMs. The three OEMs and NASCAR work hand in glove to try and see if they can get a fourth one to come in. So it's not like the three current ones are even being protective about it. They're open to a fourth. It's just a very big commitment. What's fascinating, it's a very interesting time right now in the car industry. You know, there was the big shift to EVs, and then EVs, the sales started to tail off, and now hybrids are what's really hot right now in terms of sales. NASCAR has the ability to go to a hybrid engine with its Gen 7 car, with the next-gen car. They haven't done it yet. We asked Steve O'Donnell whether they're going to. He said they're actively looking at it. They're talking to their manufacturers about it, but he wouldn't even give me a projected year of when they might do it. So that's something that, but he did admit that they're talking with their OEMs currently about that, what they call the engine architecture. So it's something that they're working on very hard, but NASCAR's caught in a tough time right now because all these car companies are trying to figure out, are we going to be in an EV revolution? Is the EV revolution not going to happen? Some of these companies have invested huge amounts of monies in EVs, so they're in a big mess right now trying to figure it out, including some of NASCAR's current OEMs like Ford. So NASCAR's working very hard. We know that for sure. It would seem surprising if, you know, we get to the next decade in 2030 and they haven't landed one yet. But look, it's been over a decade since they've been trying to land a fourth and it hasn't happened yet. So we'll just have to wait and see.
You know, Adam, one of the things that we know here that moved the needle for us is talking about silly season and free agency and all of those things. We know starting off 2025, lots of drivers in new rides at new teams. Is there anybody that you know of that is going to be at the top of that free agent list as we head into 2025, looking to either secure where they are now or move on to somewhere else in 2026?
Yeah, that's a great question, Alexis. So far from my conversation with people in the industry, when I've asked that question in recent weeks, there hasn't appeared to be one clear-cut person. Now, that could all change, you know, tomorrow or today when we, you know, get done recording this and some driver announces some huge thing. But as of right now, it doesn't seem like there's a clear-cut number one. One driver I am kind of keeping an eye on is Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin, of course, could possibly finish out his career with Joe Gibbs Racing, but he did admit to us last year that he is thinking about whether he eventually wants to go drive for his own team at 2311. Things could get complicated because they just went to three cars this year, and the new charter system doesn't allow for four charters anymore, except for the two teams that are grandfathered in. 2311 is not one of them. So I don't know if that could affect things, but of course, Joe Gibbs Racing did unfortunately lose FedEx last year as a sponsor. That was his major, major sponsor there. And I'm sure he's going to have a decent sponsorship lineup this year in the 11 car Joe Gibbs, but it's been a struggle for them to kind of get that filled out during this offseason, and they're still working at it. So I've got my eye on him just to a certain degree about, hey, does he ever want to make that leap and go drive for his own team in 2311? And if he does, could it possibly be in 2026? So that's one name I'm keeping an eye on, but there's nothing clear cut yet.
You know, speaking of Denny Hamlin, Doug alluded to this before the commercial break, the lawsuit happening right now, 2311 Racing and Front Row Motorsports, an antitrust lawsuit versus NASCAR. Adam, what's the ultimate end game for this and where do you see it going?
Yeah, well, what's fascinating is the initial injunction decision went to NASCAR and NASCAR won that. And then we had a switch of the judge, and also 2311 refiled their case because the initial judge did say if the circumstances change, even though I'm ruling in NASCAR's favor initially, 2311 Front Row, you can come back to me. They refiled their case, and then there was a judge change for some reason. And ever since then, the new judge has really been ruling in the favor of the teams. And now the teams got their injunction where they now will have their full charter basically during this entire season while they sue NASCAR. So they've got NASCAR now corner to a certain degree, and now the teams have the momentum. From that regard, it seems like NASCAR now has kind of the initiative. They might have the initiative to try and force a settlement or to try and ask 2311 in Front Row if they want to settle. So that's something we're really keeping an eye on. Now, the devil will, of course, be in the details, because if it was that easy to settle, they would have never even gotten to this position in the first place. So clearly, NASCAR is not offering up certain things, or at least wasn't offering up certain things that these teams wanted that forced them to sue. But now that the teams have this injunction, it's kind of giving them the favorite right now. And so I think everyone's keeping an eye on whether NASCAR offers some sort of terms that will allow 2311 and Front Row to settle before this ever goes to trial. Whether that happens before Daytona or not is an open debate. There's some people who in the industry who feel like, yes, that really is the deadline, Daytona. Others feel like, no, the deadlines are based off the courts and not off NASCAR's schedule. So what's coming up next is the discovery phase. That is a very sensitive phase. That's when each side has to kind of open up previously private stuff, communications and the like, and share it with the court and share it with the other side before they go to trial. So a lot of people feel like that is a key deadline for a possible settlement. But even if they go through with discovery, it's possible they could also still settle before the trial starts. But if they don't, we already know the trial date, and it will start in, I believe, December 1st. So if they don't settle, this is going to hang over the sport all the way through until 2026.
I can only imagine that both the teams and NASCAR do not want to have to go through that discovery process. Adam, you mentioned Daytona a moment ago, and we'll wrap up with this. Last year, if you were in Daytona, you had to stick around till Monday to watch the conclusion of the Daytona 500. And that has a bigger impact than what most people think, because throughout the year, I kept watching the TV ratings come out, and they would have said, well, we would have been here had Daytona ran on time. How important is it for NASCAR to get a Daytona 500 in on the scheduled date and not have to kick the can down the road?
Yeah, Doug, when I started covering this sport in 2015, I was one of the first things I was told, one of the, you know, rule number ones was, as Daytona goes, so goes the season. And Daytona really sets the tone, not just, you know, kind of figuratively, but literally, you know, depending on how big of a rating they get, that sets the tone for how good they're going to do the rest of the season ratings wise, because no race is bigger than Daytona. So the bigger the Daytona rating is, the bigger amount of viewers you're going to get throughout the season, almost always. Now, NASCAR last season was able to dig out of that hole quite remarkably. There's a couple reasons for that. One, because the sport has momentum. Two, the Daytona 500 doesn't have quite as big a viewership as it once did. So it's theoretically, if a race gets rained out now, it's a little bit easier to deal with it. But nonetheless, they were put into a big hole still last year. I mean, I think the Daytona 500 last year, because it ran on a Monday, was down like 25% versus the 2023 event. So it was still a big deal, and they had to use, and it was still fantastic that they were able to dig out of that hole. I think they ended up 1% for the season. And at the Phoenix State of the Sport press conference last November, Steve Phelps noted his amazement at that. That it was probably the first time they were ever able to dig out of a hole and end up for a season after having a Daytona rainout. So the fact that that was the first time they were ever able to do that tells you all about, tells you everything you need to know about how important it is that, you know, the weather gods kind of help out on that Sunday at Daytona.
Well, Adam, keep posting a lot to X, because we want Brad Gilley's phone to ding a bunch, okay?
Will do.
All right, Adam Stern, Sports Business Journal. Adam, thanks for the gift of your time and your knowledge. Always good to chat with you.
Thank you.
We'll come back with a bunch more Fast Talk.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things? Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here, right now, today, to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about this, but imagine how great your life could be, and all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number, because here it comes.
800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Paid for by the Detox Treatment Helpline.
I'm Ty Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
We'll jump back into some topics here in just a moment. I want to go back over the Junior Motorsports announcement. But Brad and Alexis, I felt like we were privileged to get 30 minutes with Adam Stern. The guy is money, and he is an influencer in this game.
He is. Yeah, he's so plugged in. Like he said, a lot of hard work, a lot of relationship building, but he knows his stuff, and he really is refreshing to talk to, because some of the things that he mentioned in that interview we just had with him are things that I wasn't even thinking of. And we all like to think of ourselves as industry insiders too. Yeah. So great conversation with Adam.
Yeah, he's a true journalist. And look, we have a lot of reporters. I don't consider myself a journalist. We're broadcasters. But here's what I like about Adam. Number one, the integrity. Number two, he is truly an insider. If he reports it, there is actually some substance behind that. And you take an Adam Stern, a Bob Pockris, a Dustin Long, you know, there are a handful of really true journalists that we have in our sport, and they do an amazing job. But I really love how Adam is able to bring us the business of sports, and it's a great forecaster sometimes of some of the things that we're going to be excited about, like the things we talked about earlier.
But it's not just numbers and cold analytics that he's plugged in, as Alexis said, so well that he can kind of give you some of the real feelings behind a lot of these decisions. We talked a little bit on the show earlier about Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Junior Motorsports, Dale Jr. and Kelly, entering a car in the Daytona 500. They put out a nice little PR piece that explains why they decided to do this.
Junior Motorsports is fielding a Daytona 500 entry for the very first time.
An opportunity came knocking, which was Traveler's Whiskey, which is Chris Stapleton, who's a part owner of that venture. And they wanted, you know, I'm sure fans have noticed they've done some things around the races, you know, advertising and whatnot.
Yep.
And so they wanted to make a pretty big splash and wanted to be in the Daytona 500. And we were lucky enough to give them an awesome plan on partnering with Junior Motorsports. And here we are.
So here they are with Traveler's Whiskey aboard, with the clout of Chris Stapleton behind them. Alexis, we didn't talk about that much. He is monstrous. He is probably one of the biggest names in all of music. I'm not just going to say country music, but all of music.
A megastar is what I would call Chris Stapleton. Certainly not the only artist or celebrity out there pushing whiskey, but certainly because he's doing that, giving him the opportunity to partner with Dale and Kelly is going to be huge. It's going to be a huge storyline, as Adam alluded to in our conversation with him, in and around Daytona. And then also there's going to be the greater storyline behind all of it, that is, okay, well, they entered the Daytona 500. We'll see what happens there, how successful or unsuccessful they are. Are they going to do it again? Is this going to become a full-time team? Because when you think about NASCAR and you think about the popularity of drivers, as far as I'm concerned, there is not a driver in the field today that is as popular as Dale Earnhardt Jr., who is no longer a driver. But when you think about him being the owner or fielding a team, you know, that brings with it more eyeballs. And that, I think, is fantastic for the sport.
Yeah, I love the idea. And I'm hoping they have free samples, by the way. it would be great to be in Daytona and get some Traveler whiskey. But I think, you know, here's Adam Stern talked about this. For so many years, for more than a decade now, The question's been asked, and Dale Jr. has talked about whether or not he will or will not get into Cup Series racing. And as part of the announcement that they had made last week talking about this, you know, he's like, look, Junior Motorsports has brought 12 drivers into the Cup Series. Champions like Brad Keselowski and Chase Elliott, for example. Justin Allgaier ran in the Cup Series for a while, as well as several other drivers. And this is their first foray. Now, is this a good hint of what's to come? Who knows? But the one thing you know is that they've thought about this. This isn't something that they woke up on a Tuesday and said, you know what, let's go Cup racing and let's do it in the Daytona 500. If anything, this is probably the hardest opportunity to even make the Daytona 500 that we've seen in about a decade now, and they're going to go for it. Wish them the best of luck.
So Travelers Whiskey, as we alluded to earlier, is made by Buffalo Trace.
Yep.
Which, if you are a bourbon aficionado, and Brad, I know you and I share that affinity, you cannot find Buffalo Trace in the great state of North Carolina unless you are exceptionally lucky. You go down to where you live, and they're practically giving it away in the grocery store.
Well, that is true. Yeah, the Buffalo Trace here in Texas is, look, it's not an expensive whiskey. It's a very good whiskey. In fact, I even gave out a bottle of Traveler whiskey to one of my kids because she was going to go to New York, or she did go to New York over the New Year holiday, and everything is part of like a whole Traveler theme, and I thought that was pretty neat. So, yes, we can get it here. I'm happy to mule whatever I can legally to North Carolina. I've done that for our own PRN GM, Jerry Horn, because he's a big fan of Buffalo Trace. So you let me know what you need, and whatever that TSA limit in a check bag is, I'll be more than happy to accommodate.
Yeah, just wrap it up really carefully. I'm just thinking about the marketing opportunities for this.
Oh,
and it blows my mind, because that will be the most photographed, videoed, on-camera car in Daytona. There's no doubt in my mind it will get more coverage than Joey Logano and Denny Hamlin and anybody else.
You know, I hope that they have, and look, Junior Motorsports, along with their media company, Dirty Mo Radio, even though it has, you know, Dirty Mo Media, Dirty Mo Radio, I hope they have the foresight to have like a documentary crew following them around or something, because this is a monumental, and I mean, it because of who he is and what this means, it's a monumental step for them and for the Cup Series. And so I really hope that it's documented in a way that we can all enjoy it later.
Brad, are we going to see Chris Stapleton at the racetrack, you think?
I would imagine that we would. I mean, look, it's got his whiskey brand on the side of the race car. So let's just hope. This is a big deal. Again, there's no guarantee they're going to make the Daytona 500. Let's hope we get to see Chris Stapleton and Dale Earnhardt Jr., Kelly Earnhardt Miller, all standing with Justin Allgaier before he gets into his car to start the 67th running of the Great American Race.
I don't know if it's been announced yet or not, but if it hasn't and you guys haven't figured it out, folks at Daytona need to call Chris and have him sing the national anthem, because he would be amazing.
He
at
did
that.
The national anthem at the Super Bowl years ago,
like,
and he just
chills.
Crushed it.
Yes,
it
crushed
was
it.
One of the best ones of the many flops that they've rolled out over the years. Chris Stapleton was not one of them. We'll take a timeout. Come back with more Fast Talk.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Down south, there's a place where moments are made at 180 miles per hour, where the thrills give you chills that are second to none. And at every turn, anything can and will happen fast. Some say it's just a NASCAR race, but it's Fastlanta, America's destination for acceleration, home of full-throttle throwdowns, partying into the night, and unbelievable photo finishes. NASCAR returns to Atlanta Motor Speedway for the Ambetter Health 400, February 21st through 23rd. Get tickets now at atlantamotorspeedway.com.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corley Joy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago. To care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit SpeedwayCharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
Second to thank all of our guests that we have had on during the off season. The show has been filled with premium guests, a lot of them from the media side. Thanks a lot to Adam Stern. We don't normally do that during the regular season while NASCAR is racing because we're busy breaking down the race that just happened and forecasting the next one. So for all of those folks that gave us the gift of their time, we are much appreciative. Brad Gilley, we heard now that Martin Truex Jr., scheduled to return to the Daytona 500, racing for Tricon. That's a Toyota deal. Is there help coming in from other places to make sure that they have a fast car when they get down there?
Yeah, remember, Joe Gibbs Racing is a four-car organization in the NASCAR Cup Series, only one of two allowed, so they can't run a fifth car, so they need another team to be able to field that entry. But make no mistake, this is going to be every bit of Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota, and I'm sure Tricon's going to have a little bit of involvement, but this is a Joe Gibbs Racing
car. They'll get a sticker.
Yeah, they get a sticker, right. The great part of this, Cole Pearn, the crew chief for with whom he won a championship in the Cup Series, is going to be the crew chief for this effort as well. Now, Cole Pearn is still very much involved, even though he's retired from, I guess, full-time NASCAR competition, if you will, and he and his family have their big mountain resort. But still, I think it's going to be a really neat thing to see those two reunited. And who knows? You know, Martin Truex Jr. came up just shy of winning a Daytona 500 when Denny Hamlin won his first. Maybe this is his opportunity as a retired driver.
You know, you talking about how Tricon and JGR are aligned and how this is going to be mostly a Joe Gibbs Racing entry. How much of that can we also say for the Junior Motorsports and Hendrick Alliance? I mean, obviously, this is going to be Justin Allgaier entered under Junior Motorsports, but they're going to be getting lots of help from Hendrick as well. So we should be able to, you know, we should be able to say that that car is going to be competitive too, because he's going to have that Hendrick Alliance, right?
I feel like that this Justin Allgaier entry under Junior Motorsports,
right,
they will have their hands on it, but I feel like it's as much a Hendrick car as the Wood Brothers 21 with Josh Berry is a Penske car.
Yeah, and I only mention that to say for the fans out there, knowing that these are open cars with these alliances, with these big super teams, that gives fans behind these entries hope that they're going to be able to make the show. So,
yeah, I think that's a great point. And look, let's not forget, Justin Allgaier ran the Coca-Cola 600. He was the driver who sat in the number five when Kyle Larson was still trying to get back from Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He had that car hovering around the top 10 the whole time. Different style of racing, don't get me wrong. But still, Justin Allgaier is a very accomplished driver, and I have no doubt, maybe ideally, just in single car qualifying, because remember, the top two fastest cars will get into the Daytona 500. They still have to run the duels, but maybe they can lock themselves in early and not have to have that stress on Thursday night, February 13th.
What cars always qualify for the front row at Daytona just about?
Hendrick
cars. So, and Allgaier's got, he's got a lot of cup experience. That's where he started. Then he got kind of, I guess you can say, demoted.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this personally, and I put this out on social. I like Allgaier. I find him conversational. I find him a really nice, approachable guy. I was happy he won the championship this year. And I think Junior alluded to this in some conversations. This is almost a gift to Allgaier. It's like, Good job. Way to go. You won us a title.
Yeah.
Here's this shiny toy. Go play with it.
Well, and I saw, too, in the availability that I read after they had it, that Justin said that he wasn't really sure what was happening when they brought him in to talk to him about it. He thought they were just telling him, like, what their plans were and that he wasn't going to be the one piloting it. And then they're like, oh, no, we want you to drive. And he's like, oh, okay, awesome. You know, so, yeah, absolutely a gift. And that's how Dale operates with his drivers. Yeah. You know what I mean? So not
it's a lot less calculating there. I feel like there's a little more humanness to that team than there are some of the other organizations. Brad, is this a real forerunner of them going cup racing, or is this just these happy little trees growing over here?
God, that's such a hard question, because Dale has talked about it for so long. And back when the charters were, like Adam Stern was talking about, $3 million charters, he was worried about what if these go down in value. And he has admittedly said, we missed the boat. You know, these charters have now grown to a range where it's outside of what I would be comfortable putting all of my own money into. Originally, he said if they were going to do it, they were going to do it on their own. Now he talks about, look, if we're going to do it, we would need some type of investor. So, look, I think this is a goal that has been pursued for a while, and they've been very measured in their decision-making throughout. So, ultimately, I think the race fans, I think the sport would be great to see Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Junior Motorsports as cup owners in this sport.
What are you thinking, Alexis?
I mean, absolutely. I said it previously. Like, I do not believe that when you talk about clout and merchandising sales and all of those things that we talk about when we talk about the popularity of drivers, there is not a driver in the field right now that can match what Dale Earnhardt Jr. can do. And so if we can bring him into the Cup Series in some form or fashion, obviously not as a driver, and clearly he's going to be on Amazon and he's going to have a presence from a broadcasting standpoint, but in a way that fans can pull for, I think that's only a plus.
It's not even close.
It's not.
The magnetism that he has. Brad, you and I saw this play out at the first All-Star race weekend at North Wilkesboro when he was running in the Cars late model race, and the fans stormed in there to attend that. And it's not an exaggeration. 75% of the fans, and there were probably 20,000 people there, had on Sundrop t-shirts that had been available for about 2 days.
Yeah, I you know what? It was a sea of green, and I only wish that I had had the opportunity to go to Florence Motor Speedway where he ran the Budweiser No. 8. I can't imagine what that must have looked like and how cool that was. So, hey, look, you know, there are a lot of different opportunities. There are a lot of ways, if they wanted to go cup racing, that they can do it. You mentioned an investor. Maybe that investor is a sponsor. We talked, we were talking earlier off air about Gainbridge Inspire Motorsports. You know, they're an investor in Inspire Motorsports, so they are a part of that team as much as they are a sponsor. Maybe they can find that type of situation that works out for everyone, that puts a car on the racetrack, that gets Dale Jr. as your brand ambassador, that puts a great driver in the seat of the car and has a competitive organization. So we can only hope, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see how this ultimately plays out.
Brad and Alexis are heading off to NASCAR Production Days next week. Let's find out what they're interested in. We'll do it after the break.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. That's 800-475-8167.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Dale Earnhardt, he's almost been deified. There's a mystique about him that's never been attached to any other driver, including your dad.
I think there's two things for Dale Earnhardt that make him who he is. He was that guy that your neighbor. I don't care if you live in a mobile home I don't care if you live in a mansion. He's that guy that was your neighbor. He's the guy that was out in his yard planting his plants. He's the guy that was out there mowing. He's the guy that was out there doing it. He's the guy that drove the truck. He's the guy that got up under the car and changed the gear. He's the guy that put on a uniform and jumped in that car and became your hero on a Sunday afternoon. And you could identify with that. He's really that last guy. And he is, in the words of Tom Wolfe, last great American hero, the book that was written about Junior Johnson. He is that last guy to a lot of people. And he was going to have that following no matter what. It moved to a different level because of what happened at Daytona. Billy Joel, only the good die young. And that's the way you remember it. So I think that moves you to a different place too.
Once again, big thanks to Adam Stern, Sports Business Journal, for sharing his time and information with us. Later on this week, Alexis Erickson and Brad Gilley will head off to NASCAR Production Days at their bright and shiny new NASCAR production facilities about 3 miles here from Charlotte Motor Speedway. Alexis, as part of this, you guys get to interview all of the Cup drivers getting ready for the new season. Is there anybody in particular you are looking forward to chatting with?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a good time because you're talking to drivers that have like a renewed optimism about what is going to happen and unfold throughout the next year. Nobody is, you know, looking at a points deficit or anything like that. It's a clean slate for everybody. One of the drivers that I'm really interested in talking to is going to be a Rookie of the Year candidate, if you can believe it, and that's Shane Van Gisbergen. And that's just because I want to talk to him about his trajectory. It feels like it's been, even though he's been, you know, a veteran race car driver in many forms, I feel like it's been a really fast pace run for him up to the Cup Series, to which he'll compete in the number 88 this coming season. So I just want to talk to him about, you know, kind of where his head is at and what he feels about running for Rookie of the Year.
SVG for Alexis, Brad Gilley.
You know, I don't know that there's any one person I'm more interested in talking to than the other. More than anything, just looking at their outlook, I think there's a lot that can be revealed in these types of environments of who truly has substance behind their confidence, a lot of depth behind what they do. You know, take, for example, okay, yeah, great, we're going to go do big things, but why? What's going to make you go do big things? How are you going to do this? You take a Kyle Busch, for example, and you can look at a lot of the additions that they have made to Richard Childress Racing, bringing in Richard Boswell and Johnny Clausmeyer over from Stuart Haas Racing, a couple of good racing minds. What are some of the things that have happened that you're going to say this is the substance behind your optimism? Is the optimism real? I think you can see it when you look into their eyes.
I'm curious to see what Denny Hamlin has to say, not about the lawsuit, but just about in general where his life is. He has been in the middle of a storm now for a long time. Is it taking a toll? Can he get his optimism back? Now that I have launched full-time into retirement, I've had a little bit of time to catch up on my television watching. I don't usually endorse TV shows because they're so subjective, but if you have Paramount Plus or Prime and you haven't watched Landman, folks, you need to be watching this. It is. If you like Billy Bob Thornton. If you don't like Billy Bob Thornton, stay away
from
it.
That's a Taylor Sheridan.
Right.
It is.
It's in his
show.
It's in
my
his
son worked
universe.
On that.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, then watch it and help Brad's son out, because I'm sure that increases his
I have
his
not
take.
Added that to the list. I have, you know, so many shows written down that I want to watch or get back into. Currently, I only have time right now for Silo, which such a great show on Apple TV Plus. If you right. have not watched that, please, please get into that. Just Apple, wrapped up its second season.
Apple TV has become the repository for some of the best sci-fi on television.
Oh yes. Yeah, Severance. I don't know if you guys watch that. It's
that's next on my list. But if you have not taken in Landman yet, it's very, very tasty. So give that a try. It's a tour de force for Billy Bob Thornton. But
yep.
I really like it. For Brad Gilley, Alexis Erickson, David Stiles, Kemp Bernhardt, Harold Hamburg, I'm Doug Rice. You know what? We'll regroup and we'll be back here next week, you guessed it, with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. and Sunoco. Whether you're heading to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco UltraTech. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.